met my husband in 2004, and we got married in 2006, and have lived here in Lebanon our whole lives. Or no, I'm sorry, not our whole lives. We've lived here in Lebanon for about the same amount of time, and we've never left the community. We both still live here. And in 2011, we found out that we were expecting Aubrey, and it was about a year after that that we did make the decision to separate. I'm sorry. My name is Kim Lloyd. I am the mother to Aubrey, who is 5 years old and in kindergarten here in the Lebanon district. I've been in Lebanon for about 20 years and have worked here in the school district there, transitioning from the classroom over into administration for the last few years, and absolutely love it. My mother has recently relocated to Lebanon, so I've been thrilled to be able to bring her down and really enjoy having the generations together and just popping in and having dinner with my mom. My parents were very deliberate about making sure that we went to church, and I was about 9 years old and standing with mom and dad, and an altar call was given, and I heard Jesus say now, and went forward and never looked back with that. What it actually brought me to First Baptist Church was an invitation to a different church. Some people showed up in an evening, knocked on the door, handed me their pamphlet, invited me to church, and I'd kind of become very protective of my me time. Like, there wasn't a lot of downtime in my life. My professional life requires a lot of hours, and I stepped out on my porch one day, and I literally looked up, and it was like that building appeared out of nowhere. The guest entrance is visible from my house, and so I made a beeline to that guest entrance and met a man coming in, and he introduced himself and said he would get me to where I needed to be. So we went to the guest table, and he took me to get registered and had me take Aubrey to class, and then showed me how to get down into the sanctuary for service. And about 10 minutes later, he took the stage because it was Matt Taylor. So I wanted to know more about small groups, and I heard about the group link, and I went to the group link and said, I want to be part of a small group, just plug me in wherever. And started to attend a small group with that, and it's with Dennis and Tiffany Woodcock, and have just loved those, again, those relationships that I didn't see myself being part of, and opening myself up and appreciating what they're able to teach me and maturing with them. I'd always kept people at arm's length. And so at some point I just realized that I had all these broken pieces, and I kept trying to fix them, and I kept trying to put them together, and I kept trying to parent on my own and fix a marriage that was broken in a way I didn't know how to fix it anymore, and friendships and professional relationships, and I just found myself holding broken pieces, and there's this voice that just said, you're never going to fix it. You can keep trying, and they're going to stay broken, because I'm the only one that can fix it, and you've got to hand them to me. And so at some point, I just handed all these broken pieces to God and said, here, this is all I have to give you. The cracks that are still there from all those broken pieces are okay, because he loves me with them. And I'm going to just keep handing him broken pieces, and I'm not going to be perfect, and he's going to keep fixing them. I just can't imagine not being part of First Baptist Church, which is the complete opposite of where I saw myself 18 months ago. 18 months ago, it was something to do because it was the right thing to do for my daughter, and it's not that. It's not a box to check. It's not just showing up and sitting anonymous and leaving and saying that's good enough. Again, those broken pieces that I can't go back to that, because I tried it on my own, and I tried it keeping everybody away, and I tried it with what resources I had, and I wasn't designed for that. I wasn't supposed to be doing it by myself. If anyone were to ask me about being part of First Baptist Church, I'm like, just open your arms and become connected and become part of a ministry team and turn it over to God and say, where do you need me and what can I bring and where do I belong? And he will more than answer that question.
Because I know you well, I am sure that it is not lost on you the amazing amount of bravery it takes to do what you just saw. I mean, these are people these last 3 weeks and next week concluding with Craig. It takes a lot of courage, a lot of vulnerability in front of a, not just group of friends, but for many, they may not know you, you may not know them, and they, for the sake of the gospel, are willing to make themselves vulnerable and say, here's my story. I couldn't be more proud of these guys. I am so very, very grateful. And so for Paul and Tony and Kim and Craig, would you just encourage their hearts and just say, man, I've been blessed by your willingness to be brave. Would you just let them know that right now? You bet. Because here's the deal. This is us. This is us. This is the highs and these are the lows. And here's the sweet moments and here's the bitter moments. And here's the victories and here's the heartaches. And life's full of them. And your story is no different than the next. It's full of those. And some of you right now are in a good place in your life. And that's wonderful. But I just want you to know that does not dictate and it does not guarantee that your tomorrow is going to be this pleasant. And some of you need to hear just the opposite. Some of you right now are in a real pretty hard time in your life. And life's not going the way you thought it would go. And maybe everything you feel like has been upended. I just want to let you know, that is not a determination that your tomorrow, there's not an oasis for you where God has something fresh and something new for you in your life. And so where you are is not where you're going to stay. And such it is with life. Things change and life can change on a dime. But I just want to give you good news today. Your Heavenly Father does not change. You hear that? Your Heavenly Father does not change. Your circumstances do. Life can. But your Father in heaven, He does not change. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of the heavenly lights, in whom there is no shifting shadows. He doesn't change, and he's always good. You can trust him. You can trust him with your story. You can trust him with your life. And by the way, you can trust him with your family story, and you can trust him with everything that is near and dear to your heart. We talk a lot here about the gospel. And last week we talked about this gospel that has power. And you've heard the term and you might say, well, I'm not sure what the gospel is. And the gospel in a nutshell is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried. And on the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. That separates every other religious message in the world from that news. No other religious message speaks about a Savior who died for sin and was buried and rose again. Only Christianity does that. Only the gospel does that. And the good news of this gospel is that anybody could be born again. Anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord can find their sins forgiven because Christ died on the cross for their sins. And anybody can have real life abundant here and eternal life on the other side of this world there because he rose again. If you put your faith in that gospel, you could be born again. You could be saved. That's the good news. And the Bible says there's power in that. And that's why every Sunday I get up here, and you might think, man, that guy, like, he gets all into it. Man, he's sweating. Man, he's loving what he's doing. You know why I'm excited? You know why I can come up here confidently? Because there is power in the gospel. And it doesn't matter where you have come from. And it really doesn't matter all that you might be ashamed of. It doesn't matter all that you're struggling with or all that you're going to be struggling with. The Bible says that there is power in this gospel. It can change your heart, it can change your life, and it can change eternity. There is power in the gospel, and why would we not be confident as we share it with anybody? Because whoever shall call upon the Lord after hearing this gospel, your world can change. So yeah, I'm confident on a Sunday morning. I tell you, I had the distinct privilege, and so many of you, you've been praying for this, and I've been looking forward to this opportunity, and so I've told you, I'm working with the football team and Friday nights, and I've got to be careful what I say on a Friday night because we're like just a few hours away from the game. So I got a 15-minute window. I always try to leverage whatever I'm saying, gospel-oriented, into football analogies. And so sometimes it's a challenge, if you understand what I mean. Sometimes I feel like I'm a little bit more coaching than I am preacher. But be that as it may, I've been looking forward to the opportunity that God gave this past Thursday. So I had to drop off something to Coach Christian's office. And he said, hey, would you like to talk to the boys today before practice? And I was like, well, yeah, that'd be great. He says, whatever you want to talk about, you talk to them. And so I thought about it and I prayed about it. I was like, you know, I haven't shared my story. And I really haven't shared the specifics of the gospel yet. Because I just didn't feel like it was just appropriate or it was the right time to do right before a game. It might be lost on them. But right before a practice on a Thursday in a bye week, I think I might have their attention. I saw him later on. I said, hey, coach, I think this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to share my story. And in sharing my story, I'm going to share his story. I'm going to share both stories. God bless Coach Christian. God love him. He said, okay, we'll see you at 325. He brought in every varsity player, every JV player, every freshman player into that locker room. I'm telling you, for 20 minutes, you could have heard a pin drop. I got to share my story and I got to share the gospel. Listen, over 100 of those boys got to hear the power of the gospel. I'm so grateful for that. You bet, absolutely. So many of you, you've been encouraging me in that, and you've been praying for me in that. And I just want to say, hey, God just answered our prayers. The whole season was worth what took place. And we'll see what God does in and through all that. I'm taking one of the boys to breakfast before school this week. I'm just going to have an opportunity to get to know him better and maybe enter into a gospel conversation. You say, well, why are you saying all this? Because I just want you to know, we make a lot of the gospel here. There's power in this gospel. But I just want you to know, and we're going to camp out on this a little bit today, there's privileges in this gospel. And there's incredible privileges with this gospel. I got to experience another one this past week. So it's Monday night, and my small group, whom I love dearly, and some of you might have heard me talk about them, if you've been around here for a while, we just had dinner together on Monday night. You say, is your group meet on Monday night? No, we meet on Sunday nights. And then what were you doing having dinner on Monday nights? Just because we enjoy each other. See, it's not a have to, it's just a get to. I get to be a part of that group. And so here we are out to dinner on Monday night, and there's a table of, there's 15 of us there, and I get the middle seat. You say, is that accident? No way. So anyways, I get there and, you know, wiggle myself into it. I want the middle because I want to try to be able to, you know, touch and connect with all of them as much as possible. And so I'm sitting there and listen, I just want you to know, I just love them. I love my small group. I love my group, and I'm the youngest of them there, okay? I mean, some of them are in different seasons of life, and that's okay. There's power in this gospel. There's privilege in this gospel because what connects our hearts is Jesus. And I feel safe with them, and I feel comfortable with them, and I'm known by them, and they know my hang-ups, and they know my struggles, and they know where I need to work, areas of my life I need to work on. And yet I feel so accepted by them. I feel loved by them, and so I'm just drawn to them, and I think they feel the same way about the group, and I think they're drawn to the group. And so here we are Monday night, we're eating, and I just had this spiritual moment. I just had this holy spiritual moment where it was like I was there, but I wasn't. I was looking around, and I was thinking, this is special. This is special. And as I was listening to these people over here converse, and I was listening to these people in front of me converse, and I was listening to this group over here converse, I was thinking, you know what? This is the way it ought to be. Man, when the Bible talks about fellowship and the Bible talks about togetherness and the Bible talks about community, man, this is church. This is what people sign up to have in church. I mean, there was nobody trying to one-up the other person. There was nobody putting somebody else down to make themselves feel better. There was nobody with their insecurities trying to overcompensate and play the heavy hand, own the room. Nobody was doing that. Everybody was simply enjoying this place of safety. And there were conversations, and they were beyond just surface, and they were even intimate. Well, what can create that? By the way, you cannot be intimate with somebody that you're not safe with. You do know that, right? I mean, to be intimate, to be really close with somebody, to really have a connection with somebody, you've got to feel safe with that person to let your guard down and open your heart up. It's natural when you feel safe with somebody to open your heart. It is also natural if you do not feel safe around somebody, you close your heart. So here I am looking around, all these people being safe with each other. hearts wide open, loving with all they got. And I think to myself, man, God, I want everybody to experience this. I want everybody at the First Baptist Church to experience this. This is wonderful for these 15. I want everybody to experience this. See, there's a verse that you have often heard me quote. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 18 and 19. And the Apostle Paul, he says there, he says, I pray that you be strengthened in the inner man. I've taught you this before. I pray that you be strengthened, that you be given power in the inner man. Now, normally you would think, if you need power from God, it is so that you can do something. You need strength. I need strength to do something. I need strength to serve, or I need strength to be loving to this person who's never going to return it. I need strength to share my testimony where I'm scared and I'm intimidated, but I do it nonetheless. I need strength in those moments, and indeed, we all do. But that is not what the Apostle Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, he says, I pray that you receive strength in the inner man so that, and by the way, anytime the Bible says so that, you're about to read why he said what he just said. I pray that you receive strength in the inner man so that, follow this, that you might comprehend what is the love of God in all of its, listen, height, width, depth, and breadth, and to know this love together with all the saints. Please don't miss that. Together with all the saints, this comprehension of love, it does not happen in a vacuum. It happens with all the saints. There are no lone rangers in the journey, ladies and gentlemen. There's nobody that is meant in the Christian life, in this movement that Jesus has started. It was never intended for you to do it alone. There's an old show I used to watch when I was a little kid. I mean, black and white little kid. Remember the Lone Ranger? The Lone Ranger. Remember that? You say, man, that'd be something to be the Lone Ranger. But the Lone Ranger, you say, I don't want to be the Lone Ranger. He was lonely. No, he wasn't. He had Tonto. All right? Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. You were created to do life together. You were created not to do this on your own. And I'm just telling you, you will never comprehend how much you're loved by a Heavenly Father doing this on your own. You got to do it with each other. You got to do it in this togetherness, in this society, together with all the saints. That, and only in that, can you comprehend by God's power through you how great the love of Christ is in its height, depth, width, and breadth. And the Bible says when you do, then you will walk in the fullness of God. Somebody says, I want to walk in the Spirit. Well, don't we all? How are you going to do that? Know how much you're loved? How can I do that? Not alone. You got to do it with other people. Because other people are going to be tangible reminders. Other people are going to be Jesus with skin on to you, and they're going to show you, and they're going to model to you, and they're going to respond to you in the grace of God, reminding you there's a love greater than this earth, reminding you there's a power greater than this earth can ever afford, and reminding you there's an acceptance that only heaven can give, and given through another human being, it reminds you there's an eternal Father who's given you that love for me. It brings you together with people, but it draws you close to your Heavenly Father. Together with all the saints, we get to comprehend this love. Outside of the saints, outside of community, you will miss out on how much you're loved by the Father. So today I'm going to go a little different route. And the reason being is, I'm going to speak on this subject of togetherness and community. And I've done this now for 11 years. And 11 years of doing this, some of you have tuned me out in 11 years. I know it'd be hard to think about that you can tune me out. It keeps me up at night thinking about how some of you have. But you have. And listen, you know, I get it. I understand why. I mean, some of you, you're kind of short attention. Like somebody's talking to you, you're like, ooh, squirrel. There it goes. Look there. And so, you know, I should not take it personally. You do that with other people because that's just you, right? But there are certain subjects that whenever it's raised, there are these walls that come up. You're like, squirrel. So today, I thought if we're going to get something that we haven't gotten yet, something's got to be said that hasn't been said yet. Because if I just say what's always been said, you'll be like, I've been there, heard that. I tuned you off last time, I'll tune you out this time. So I'm going to say something different, hopefully, maybe, getting into your heart with the work of God and the work of the Holy Spirit might produce something different in you and us. So in your Bibles, in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, There's these two verses, and you are familiar maybe with one, you may not be with both. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, the Bible says here, "Let us consider how to spur one another on to love and to good deeds." Or another translation says, "How to stimulate." Let us consider how we can spur one another on to love and good deeds. Can I tell you, when I came here today, I was not thinking to myself, honestly, about my message. I wasn't. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about you. There's a family that sits over here to my left, to your right, that hasn't been here in a few weeks. So on my way to church, when I came to a stop, then I texted, but I then got on the phone and I just gave a quick text. "Hey, I have missed you. You're on my heart. It's not the same without you. Hope to see you today. Hope to talk to you soon." I wasn't thinking about a message. I was thinking about a family. And then when I got into my office, I remembered another family that had been on my heart all week long, and I heard some good news about what God had done in their hearts, and so I gave them a phone call this morning. You say, "Don't you have a message to consider?" Sure, sure. But listen, you're not just a mass group of people. You're a person, and I love you. And it is my job as a Christian, according to Hebrews chapter 10, 20, verse 24, to consider. I'm to consider how I can spur you on to love and good deeds. Some days I'm better at that than other days. Some days I might do a really good job. Some days I might live very, very selfish, and I may not even think about somebody else because I think I might have no margin. I give myself permission not to have any margin. And you're no different. Some days you're stellar at it. Some days you're not. What if we all, though, would consider? It's a mathematical term here. What if we would all consider today, how can I stimulate the people around me, or the people that used to be around me, they're no longer around me, how can I stimulate them to love and good deeds, to know that they are loved by God, and as they receive, they can give. As they are known by God, they can give to others, and it could produce good deeds in their lives. What if we all considered that in community, in this movement? So the Bible says here, verse 25, and this is the verse that some of you are more familiar with. It says, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing." Meaning, don't skip out when it's time to meet together. Don't skip out. Make it a priority. And again, some of you might be thinking, "Oh, he's preaching to the choir here. He's trying to get us back here more than once a month." Well, of course I am. Of course. And by the way, there's no squirrels right now when I'm talking. Listen to me. Of course I am. Lock it in. I told you this last year. Gallup now tells us that they consider a normal church goer in America as one who goes to church one time every month. You are a regular church attender if you come to church one Sunday out of the month. Let me tell you that Gallup did not ask my opinion. That's not a regular church goer. You're a guest when you come once a month. You're a guest, honestly. I mean, we do this four times a month. Sometimes there's a fifth Sunday. We do this five Sundays a month. Listen, and I know life's busy, and I know all that. I'm going to address that in just a moment. But I'm just telling you, when you're not here, there is something missing out. It wasn't like me trying to be manipulative to the family that sits over here thinking, "Hey, I miss you." It wasn't like, "Hey, that's my way of saying the preacher talk. Come back." No, no, it is me really missing you. Why? Because they add something. They add something. I'm sitting here on the front row, and I'm listening to Steve and Jess, and they're singing, you know, that Avicii song, and I thought, man, they're doing a good job. But in the midst of enjoying it personally, I think to myself, I didn't check who was behind me today. And I turned around, and I touched Felicity's hand, and I met the young man sitting next to her, but I'm missing Kyle. I hope he's feeling okay today, but it's in my mind. I'm just thinking about it. See, you're not just a mass group of people that we're just trying to make more massive. No, you are a person. I see Steve today. I saw him. I hadn't seen him in a couple of weeks. I saw him walking down the hall. I'm in the foyer. I say, my day's complete. My day's complete. Bring it on in. Steve's my rocker friend from the 70s. Bring it on in, brother. Listen, he's not just adding to the mass number of people. He's a person. And I'm going to do all that I can to spur him, spur them, spur whoever on. Love, good deeds. And we can't do that if we're hit and miss. We can't do that. If the highest ideal of our church attendance is we're going to shoot for once a month. No, You're better than that, and you need more than that, and you know you do, and you don't need a preacher to tell you that. You already got it. So the Bible says there are some that they're in the habit of doing this. So this is a 2,000-year-old problem. They're not in the habit of meeting together. They're skipping out, and they got their excuses, and they're too busy just as well as you are. So we say, but it says, don't do that. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. See, I want the most encouraging place in the world to be right here. I want you to come here and think, I leave every week with my cup full. And it's not just because of music, and it's not because of a sermon. I want you leaving here every week because you have grace touches all around you, whether it be before, during, after. There are people who are getting to know you, who are looking forward to you coming, and will miss you if you're not here, and will look back forward to the next Sunday to make sure you're here and to remind you how missed you were and how loved you are. We all need that, ladies and gentlemen. You're not the exception. We all need that. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be wanted. There ought to be nobody that does it better than the First Baptist Church. There ought to be nobody that does it better than the body of Christ. But even as this is the case, so see, we're in a big room here. There's over 500 of you here this morning. In a big room like this, if you want to, you can slip in and slip out. And you could be, you know, stealth-like. And some of you choose to be. I mean, you like our Batman on Sunday mornings. I mean, it's like, way to go. You're in, you're out. And listen, you got your reasons for that. But can I tell you, this is really not church. This is a gathering, but this really isn't church in the way that you define church. You know, when people get upset at any church and they leave, if you ask them, hey, well, why'd you leave that church? They never say, you know that group of people, 500? They didn't show enough love to me. They don't talk about a group of 500. They talk about a smaller group. And somebody in a smaller group may have overlooked them, or they may have felt overlooked. In a smaller group, somebody might not have shown enough concern, somebody might have been too preoccupied with themselves, or somebody might have done something where the other person perceived something totally wrong, and they get sideways, and before long, the whole church is not loving when it really just boils down to a few. See, here's what I want for everybody. And I'm gonna stop preaching. I'm going to talk to you right now. Here's what I want for everybody. I want you to be willing to be brave, much like the three you've heard so far. I want you to be willing enough to be brave, to step out of this large room and to get into a closer knit group where it's smaller. You say, well, you just told me that's why some people leave the church. Can I also tell you that is also why some people love the church and they would never leave it? See, what is yin for some, it's yang for another. It's bittersweet, and you can't have relationship, true relationship, with a guarantee. Right? If it's a real relationship, it's a life-giving relationship, there's a bittersweetness to it. It could be bitter in that it doesn't work out the way you want it to work out. It could be really sweet. It could be better than what you thought it would be. And you can't have the wonderful sweetness and always play it safe. You got to have some bravery in it, and you got to be willing to be vulnerable, and you got to be willing to know and be known. Yes, somebody can break your heart. Again, you don't need a preacher to tell you that, but you can also find some of the best friends of life on the other side of that. Can I tell you much of what we know about Jesus in his friendships? We find in the Gospel of John. You say, okay, here's where the preacher's going to talk about how Jesus had 12 buddies, and then and what it would be like to be a buddy of Jesus. Wrong. Quit looking at the squirrel. That's not what I'm going to say. You say, okay, I know what you're going to say now. You're going to say, no, Jesus had 12, but he had three intimates. And these three intimates, these are the ones, Peter, James, and John, he pulled aside and he told them things that the other nine didn't hear, and he showed them things the other nine didn't see, and he was more and more besties with them than he was with the nine. And that's not what I'm going to say, and there are still no squirrels in the house. I'm going to tell you about some people that Jesus really felt safe with. Beyond the nine and beyond the three, and you may have never known this before, when you read the gospel, especially the Gospel of John, you kind of get this picture that Jesus had three besties outside of the buddies. It was two women, one man. Mary, Martha, and their brother, Lazarus. Two sisters, one brother. Mary, Martha, Lazarus. Can I tell you, we get a picture of the character of God in the person of Jesus about how God deals with us in our suffering through the relationship that he has with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. How many times have people been tripped up? How many times has somebody pulled a preacher like me aside, or maybe pulled you as a Christian friend aside and says, hey, where's God? Where's God in the midst of this? My heart is breaking. I prayed, and there's no answer. What's God doing right now? How many times have you been faced, maybe in your own dilemma, of wondering, where's God? Forget trying to help out a friend. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, where is he in my life when I need him the most? Can I tell you, it is through the relationship of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus that we get the best picture of where God is in the midst of your personal suffering. And we wouldn't know about it if it were outside the relationship and the safety Jesus felt in that relationship. As described in John chapter 11. You can read it there this week. John chapter 11. Some of you know the story, but Lazarus died. Lazarus died, and the message is getting to Jesus. Hey, the one whom you love, before he dies, the one whom you love, Lazarus, he's sick. And it's very interesting that they tagged onto that. It wasn't just like, hey, your best buddy, Lazarus, he's sick. They said, no, Lazarus, the one whom you love, is sick. This isn't a stranger. This isn't just somebody who breaks up your sermon and lowers a paralytic from the roof. This isn't somebody who's just walking by in a funeral procession and you can't control yourself and you go over there and you touch him. No. This is somebody you know. This is somebody you love. Lazarus, the one whom you love. He's sick. That's all they thought Jesus needed to hear. And we see in John chapter 11, Jesus, he delays. Are you kidding me? Like, he doesn't like run to Bethany. As a matter of fact, he stays back 2 days longer. And then he says something strange and crazy, and he says, hey, I'm kind of glad I'm doing this. What? Are you kidding me? I mean, you're a better friend than that. I'm a better friend than that. Man, if it's in my power to help you, and you're calling upon me to help you whom I love, and I've got it within my power to do it, and I say, I'll make you sweat a little bit. That wouldn't be too friendly. You wouldn't want to be my friend much longer. You wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. And yet Jesus does that. He delays. And then when he gets there, you're going to see real humanity. And listen, the safety of relationship, simply to be real. Here comes Martha. Martha says, Lord, if you'd have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And it's very interesting. Jesus doesn't like get on to her. He doesn't say, hey, woman. Careful now. He doesn't say, hey, remember who you're talking to now. He doesn't at all. Matter of fact, he makes her feel very, very safe, which apparently she must have already felt safe to be so real, not playing a game, not any pretense in her discouragement and her disheartening experience of her life, losing a brother who's now been dead for 4 days. She says, if you'd have been here, if you would have showed up like you've shown up for strangers, if you'd have done that for your friend, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And this is what Jesus says. He goes, Martha, Martha. And then he tells her something in relationship. Listen, in community, he tells her something about himself and the character of God that we would not know outside of that friendship. He says, Martha, don't you know I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And whoever believes in me shall surely never die. And then he says, listen, I love this. He goes, Martha, do you believe that? What a friend. But in the context of that friendship, we get to understand Jesus as the resurrection and the life. We wouldn't have that outside of a friendship. And that made me start thinking, like, wow, how many stories do we have in the Bible of life lessons that we've learned from Jesus where Jesus is just preaching to the masses? Not many of them. I mean, yeah, there's great sermons that Jesus preaches, but normally the things, the takeaways, the things that resonate in my heart and the things that resonate in your heart are those experiences where Jesus, in relationship with somebody else, leans in And we identify with the person that's troubled. We identify with the person who's fallen. We identify with the person who's broken. We identify with the person who's confused. We identify with the person who's prideful. And we see Jesus' response to humanity. Jesus' response oftentimes to sinfulness. Jesus' response to brokenness. And it endears our hearts because we see ourselves in that person. And we think, hey, as Jesus leaned into them, that's the way I can see him leaning into me. As Jesus spoke to them, that's the way I can see Jesus speaking to me. And it melts our hearts. It draws us to Jesus. But it's in the context of those, all those relationships. And see, this is why, for many reasons, this is so much why I want you not to be like Gallup's standard of church involvement, of movement engagement, because you can't have those kind of relationships that's displayed in the gospel, and you can't grow in understanding of God's love as described in the gospels. You can't do that apart from others, and once a month is never going to cut it in your life. And Gallup might applaud you and say, you're the new norm, man. 12 times a year, you go get them. I'm telling you, you are never going to grow to your potential, and you will have doubts that you wouldn't have to have otherwise, where you're thinking, I wonder if God loves me. I wonder if God even likes me. You would have less of those if you chose to be brave. Make this more of a priority, but not settle for this, and choose to go from a big group to a smaller group. You go, here comes the squirrel. I see it, and I'm now distracted. He's now going to talk about small groups. I tuned you off, preacher. I'll tune you off again. Oh, yeah? Well, how about this? I'll raise you something. I'll raise you honesty, and I'm going to tell you why you're about to turn me off. I know what you're thinking. You say, I don't think you're that good. Well, just let's try it. Some of you are thinking, I will never do that. And here's some of your reasons. Number one, I don't want to be in a group with a bunch of weird church people. So like right now, here's what I want everybody to do. I want you all to look to your right down the row that you're sitting on. I want you to look down the right. Now I want you to turn to your left. I want you to look down your left side. And go ahead. Take a good look. Okay, now, bring it back. Bring it back in. Okay, let's just be honest with you. You saw a few weird people, didn't you? Okay? Okay? Let's just be real. Okay, there are some weirdos amongst us. And that's just church. That's just life. Okay, that's how we roll. I tell people all the time, we're like the land of misfit toys. We got trains with square wheels that should not be on the train track. We got jack-in-the-boxes that no longer pop up. Okay, but can I just tell you, when you were looking down the right or you're looking down the left side of your row and you spotted some people that are weird and say, that's why I don't want to be in a small group, can I just let you know, they looked at you too. And as they might be your reason, you are and may be their reason. Such is life, guys. You know what? When I tell you there's power in the gospel, what I'm telling you is that there is something that can bring us and connect us that is beyond weirdness and beyond, follow this, beyond even social normative collections and drawings together of people. If we say Jesus is enough, is he really? If the idea of I just don't want to be with any weird people, and listen, I get that, but I just want you to get, you're weird yourself. Most of us are not that self-aware. I'm 43 years old. I'm trying to work on self-awareness. I have come to the conclusion, I am weird. You know, hello, my name is Matt, and I am weird. But listen, I got 15 people in my small group. That's a large small group. It kind of is. I got 15 people in my small group, and they know I'm weird, and they love me, they accept me, and they actually look forward to me being around. Do you know what that does for me? It reminds me there's a God who knows me, loves me, likes me. And as I can be safe with them, I can be safe with my Father in heaven too. I'd be missing out on that if it were not for the people I was doing it with. You say, are anybody else in that group weird? There's a few. And right now, if you think I'm talking about you, I am. Here's some more reasons. I don't have time to spend as much on all of these, but here's some other reasons real quick. People say, I don't want to go because I don't want to talk about my feelings. Some people think that if I'm a part of a small group, I'm going to be talking, like, it's going to be like group therapy, and you're going to make me talk about my feelings. I wouldn't want to go to that either. Okay? You don't have to talk about your feelings. It's not group therapy. When people tell that to me, sometimes I'm thinking, oh, if you only knew. You don't have to do that. Here's another one. This is a biggie, and there's a lot of truth in this. Some people say, well, I just don't have time. Has anybody ever used that I don't have time explanation for not doing the important things in life? Would anybody just, like, be so vulnerable? Raise your hand. Okay? Seven of you? That's great. Wonderful. It's great. Well, since we're all being so honest, hey, we all use that excuse. I just don't have time. Here's what I do. I will put my busyness of life next to yours any day. And I'm not saying I'm busier than you. I'm just saying I think I am just as busy as you are. But I would be so embarrassed if you knew on a given week how many hours I watch football on TV. See, I don't even know whoever said that. You'd be real good for a small group, pal. I just want to let you know that. You would be good for a small group. They'd work on you and get you to stop that. Just teasing. Listen, it wasn't Ben. Who wants to wear the jersey next week? Okay, that's... Hey, can I just tell you? I spend hours upon hours. Joe, you know this. I spend hours upon hours watching football every week. Steelers are going to play today. I watched Penn State, Michigan last night. I'm going to hopefully watch Atlanta redeem themselves and beat the Patriots tonight. That is 3.5 hours times three. Okay. Now you have a Jesus moment. Look at you. I'm telling you what. Spiritual people I go to church with. Hey, listen, that's over 10 hours just in 2 days. And I complain all the time. My staff hears me say this all the time. I'm just so busy. Man, I'm so busy. I need to breathe. And yet the preacher has margin enough to watch up to 12 hours of football in a given weekend. You know what that tells me? You make time for what you want to make time for. So everybody says, I'm just busy. Mm-mm-mm. Whatever's important to you, you will do. And so here's my challenge to you. Is growing in a relationship with Jesus beyond what you are right now, is that worth it to you? Is understanding the love of God in a way that you cannot do outside of community and togetherness and in a relational environment, is that worth it to you? And if it's not, then just be honest with yourself. But don't say, I just don't have time. Just say, that's not really a priority right now. So I'm uncomfortable saying that. Well, of course you'd be. Because if you're a believer, nothing ought to be more important than your relationship with Christ and growing in that, right? Sure. Some people say, I think it would be super awkward, and that's why I don't go. And who signs up for awkward moments? Nobody does. And can I just tell you, sometimes it can be awkward. Sometimes it can be awkward. But if growing in a relationship with Christ, if finding a place where you really do belong, I guarantee you it was awkward for Kim Lloyd. I guarantee you, as an operating single mom, to walk two houses down to this large place, I guarantee you, Kim, that was awkward. But Kim today would say, as she did, it's worth it. It's worth dealing with the awkward for the sake of what we get on the other side of it. So I'm not saying you won't have awkward moments. You're going to. In relationship, there's always going to be awkward moments. But if the cause is worth it, the cost then becomes less and less relevant. Some people say, and I'll finish with this, some people say, I just don't know enough of the Bible and I will embarrass myself. Everybody take a look down to the right row. Look again. Now look to your left. Do you see any Bible scholars sitting down on your row? Do you see, like, people, like, like should be teaching seminary classes like to preachers. Do you see anybody like that on your row? No. And your insecurity that you feel like, hey, I just don't know enough of the Bible. Can I just tell you, whatever direction you looked, there are people to your right and people to your left that also feel that same amount of insecurity. They don't know the Bible like they think they should. And they would be embarrassed for you to find out. So wouldn't it be really refreshing if we can all be honest and say, you know what? I'm not where I want to be, but I want to grow. I'm not where I want to be in how much I know God's word. As a matter of fact, I know very little of God's word if you really push me, but I want to grow. That's me. Can I just tell you, if you look down to the right, if you look down to the left, you'd find a lot of people that would say the exact same thing. So we're in this together. We're in it together. My small group I love. Can I tell you? Tony is here somewhere. Probably up in the balcony is where they sit. Tony, can I tell you, my small group prayed for you and Josh and Derek before you ever came. You know why? Because Jim and Donna Garrison, they, in prayer requests, they said, hey, we're going to be inviting my nephew and his wife and their son. We're going to be inviting them. Would you please pray they would come? So our small group, we prayed for the Tuckers. And guess what? When you came, it wasn't just like Jim and Donna were like, hey, some of our loved ones came. Our whole small group, whom you had never met, we all, yay, they came. When you gave your testimony last week, Tony, and we were all blown away by that and touched by that, can I just tell you, all of our small group, we had this little victory in our hearts. We were like, hey, we got to be a part of that. Hey, we prayed for that. Yay. We felt connected to that story. We felt connected to that victory. We felt connected to the grace of God at work in a family's life. We felt connected to that. It's one of the beauties about small groups. It's one of the beauties about community. And see, and as I share that with you, as I just testify to that, I'm just saying, my goodness, I want that for you. I want that so much for you. I don't want you to be spectators hearing about it. I want you to experience it yourself. So I'm closing. I'm wrapping up. Next week, I normally don't do this. You ever have been in a conversation with somebody and they say, hey, and then you say, oh, you're going to play that card? Has anybody ever used that line? Like you feel like, oh, you're just asking for a whole lot. Oh, you're going to play that card right now. I'm going to play the preacher card, okay? So let me find it. Okay, here it is. Next week, don't you dare miss church. Oh, I just did that. Okay? Of all the weeks, next week is the most important, that wraps everything up. I'm telling you, you do not want to miss next week. Would you please, hey, I love you, you love me. Would you do everything in your power to make sure it's a priority? You be here next week. You will miss so much. It's not I'm trying to wow you. You will miss so much if you miss next week, how all this comes together and how you get to be a part and how you must be a part so that you don't miss out and we don't miss out. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for the privilege of meeting together. And I thank you for community. I thank you for the grace of God that's been explained, experienced, invited into through friendships, through circles, through connections, human, horizontal connections that move our hearts vertical, closer to God. Thank you, God, for what you have in store for us next week. I pray as it all comes together, hearts would be open, faith would be exercised. If you're here this morning and you have never put your faith in Jesus, you've never received this gospel, this good news, personally, the Bible says all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can do it right now. Right now. Call upon the Lord. Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. Say, I need you. He will hear. He will answer. And if you just did that, my name is Matt. I'm sticking around afterwards. Come see me. You say, I don't know if I'm comfortable talking to you. You might talk too long. Okay, get it. I got that. I won't, but if that's going to keep you back, find somebody. Find somebody you're comfortable with. Go talk to them. Tell them, hey, I did that. I asked Jesus into my heart today. It's too big of a decision to keep to yourself. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. See you back next week. Bring a friend.